Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready for our worship. Not many here today. And I hope it's because it's the fourth. But whatever there is. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love to come and worship you, to assemble ourselves with other believers, to worship you, exalt you, Heavenly Father, and pray that this morning it be glorifying to Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song.
Old Rugged Cross is hymn number 430. Would you turn with me and sing 430, The Old Rugged Cross? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy that last I lay down. I would cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear into dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my bones at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Scripture readings is actually going to come from several different books. We're going to start off with Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 25. Now when the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hands with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying him, said, surely it's not I, Rabbi. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. And then moving on to Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 31, dealing with the Lord's Supper. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will fall away, because it is written, I will strike thee down, the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all might fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you will yourself deny me three times. But when Peter kept saying insistently, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were all saying the same thing also. And then finally, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23, also dealing with the Lord's Supper. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had given the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine, of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had given thanks, he took some bread, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who is going to do this thing.
All right, let's sing again hymn number 113. Hymn 113, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed? I'm not sure how much recorded music there is exactly here, but let's sing all the way through all five verses of number 113, please.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? He devoted that sacred head for sinners such as I. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Myself away, 'tis all that I can do.
Okay, there we go. This was said by John Adams. John Adams lived 1735 to 1824. A signer of the Independence, one of the framers of the Constitution, and the second president of the United States of America. This quote, and especially the closing line, especially expressed a sentiment widely held among the statesmen of the founding generation of our nation. It is as well a constitution is constructed, it will not ensure freedom and prosperity unless it is sponsored and supported by moral, virtuous people. And John Adams said, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." So this is where we are in American history at this time. Our Constitution was made only by a moral and religious people. I think we're pretty much losing these things as far as American history is concerned, and we need to just recognize and tell others about Jesus Christ. One thing that I do love about the young people in the middle of the summer here and earlier in the year is to tell the young people about Jesus Christ. You can tell the people about the freedom of Christ, and from that they can learn about the freedom of Constitution. So with these things in mind, it is so wonderful. Let's see, we need to be in prayer. Let's be in prayer for Judith, my wife. She's not doing well at all, so please be in prayer. And do we have any other prayer requests? Let's say, how's Bobby doing?
He's doing really well. He's getting around pretty good. Still got a long road ahead of him, but he was up and moving pretty good yesterday.
Good.
Yes. So next weekend we'll be starting to move some of their things back into their home.
Home next week. Yes. All right.
He's going to stay because he really shouldn't be alone because he still can't do a lot of things on his own. So they're going to stay at the ranch probably a few more weeks. Slowly, so the wife wants to get the house ready, but we're going to get all the furniture moved out.
Is Tish going to be the best thing to be here and Fred not alone with?
Well, at least somebody can call 911 if he falls.
Okay.
If he's by himself,
he can. I was just kidding. That's
no,
good.
I know. We kind of keep each other going.
All right, any other quote? Yes.
Yeah, my sister-in-law, Joanna, pray that the doctors will hurry up and get the team together so they can do the surgery to fix her aorta. They're still waiting to get everybody together.
Has the one from America come to Greece?
I don't know. There's an American doctor's taking interest and he's going to go travel to Greece to participate. But we don't need a cast of thousands. We just need somebody that can fix it. I had my annual cardiologist visit, and we talked about her with him, and when they said 7.5 centimeters, he said, "What?" She's already on the table being fixed.
And she should be.
Time bomb. And so prayers that she'll survive until the doctors get together, and that the doctors get together quickly here.
Yeah. Okay, well, we continue being in prayer. Anything else? Yes.
Prayers for travel for our niece Jamie is going to Italy. She's leaving this Thursday for a two-week Hillsdale course, but they offer college credit. She's going to be a junior in high school, so she's 16 years old, heading to Italy for a couple of weeks. Sure. Prayers for her safety and her travel.
Now, is she out of high school yet?
No, she's going to be a junior in high school.
Okay, be a junior in high school. Okay.
Who's going with?
All right.
What's that?
Who's going with?
Well, there's a group going for this class from Hillsdale, which is where her brother, Clay, is going to be a senior this year. So it's a great program. Just want to pray for safety in that. And then Ben is leaving a week from tomorrow for Sweden for 2 weeks. He's got a buddy in the Corps at A&M who has a home in Sweden and has invited him to come. So it's a great opportunity, but again, just prayer for safety and just smart decisions. They would glorify the Lord in their family.
Absolutely. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for Ben. That's very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Really?
I'm doing really well. I started a new treatment on Tuesday. I don't know that that's taken effect yet. That's kind of a longer-term deal. But I feel great. The steroids have been working. Yeah. I don't know what's working, to be very honest with you. The relive stuff has been awesome. I mean, I've taken all kinds of great stuff, but the Lord has said. And so I, the one thing I would say is the Lord knew what he was doing. He always does. And in 6 months of feeling pretty horrible, to feel good, it makes you want to hit your knees and thank the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a blessing to feel good.
So 1 week you've been good? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
A couple weeks.
All right.
Tapering me off of the steroids because I can't stay on that long term.
Okay.
But hopefully this new medication that I just started will pick up where that left off with the long term.
Because I know the young people saying you had to just go to bed.
That was kind of the end of feeling bad.
Okay.
And then I started feeling pretty good. So.
All right, that's good.
We're in a good place.
All right, very good. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Anything else? Yes.
And this, of course, needs our continued prayers. Because
yes.
Chris, you live for the moment because you could have one or two good days and then feeling bad the rest. You know, so. She's trying some new treatments too. So.
I was wondering. Okay. All right.
She's doing.
Good. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer, talking about our offertory. How are we doing on everything as far as the internet?
It's doing fine. All the parts are in. Oh, minus the cover. Just thanks to Amazon that it's delivered at all sometimes.
All right. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to tell others of Jesus Christ. Our young people, people that we work with, people we come and cross with in the streets, shopping. Father, it is such a joy to tell others of Christ. It becomes a great joy if they respond to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will use the offerings to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sing.
Would you join us once again in number 111, hymn number 111, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Died. My virtue strength I count the loss and find Him all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. Okay, let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We continue our study dealing with communion. On each communion Sunday, we'll continue until we've completed this entire study. So let's begin with the word of prayer and then go into our study. I am 46 years, and I'm sorry not many people are here to worship the communion service, but thank you very much for being here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the communion, how grateful we are that Jesus Christ started it, explained it, and send it on to us. Father, we pray this in Christ's name, for His glory. Amen. Okay, why communion? Why communion? Well, somebody might say because the Bible says so. No, that's not why. But you think about it. The first communion between Jesus Christ and the disciples. The first communion ever was designed to bend them and for our understanding. Communion gives peace to each of us. Communion leads to joy to each of us. Communion is an opportunity to just slow down, think, concentrate, work on Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. So I received it, and I delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed. I think that's just so amazing. To make that the first part of the communion service is His betrayal. Took bread. Okay, point one. Jesus Christ is the one who gave instruction to have this ritual to the church. So this is so important to Him. This is important to Jesus Christ. This was the night of the night of the Passover, the not the normal Passover, but a glorious Passover on Wednesday night. And this was a reference to the institution of the Passover meal that they will be involved in. Now, point two. But also Jesus Christ, from his exalted position at the throne of God, is also the reality of this sacrament. He's just the fulfillment of it. Three, now look at verse 20. Verse 20. This sacrament belongs to him. No matter what is added, prayer, singing, studying of the Word of God, so forth, but it centers on the memorial of Jesus Christ. So we're here tonight, the morning, talking about memorial to Jesus Christ. Now, point four, verse 23, which we read, as something more most interesting in the night in which he was betrayed, has set this apart from any other meal. The meal that we're in is set apart, any party meal, and sets this in the spiritual setting that is a virtual part of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Five, very important. This was part of the end of Jesus Christ's ritual and beginning of the church age. In the same way, took the cup after supper. Now we're going to go back and look at that, but I just want to introduce it right now for this part. In the same way, took the cup after supper. This is a ritual. The scriptural support gained the Jews and the Gentiles together in one group. We're studying that in Ephesians. So, it was the beginning together, the Old Testament Jewish supper and the church age supper. Right here together. In Ephesians, it points out that Jesus Christ made both groups into one. To one group. Jew and Gentile. Becoming the church. Into one group. Jesus Christ entered the law in the age of Israel and began the one in Christ. So he began the church age, ended the law of the Old Testament, and began the church age again. Now, please note that after the tribulation, so the tribulation is very close, coming to the rapture, or the closing of Jewish age, that's what the tribulation is, and the millennium is the putting them back together with the Jews in the leading of the Jew of the rule of Jesus Christ. There is so much to grasp in the end of the church age and the closing of Israel in the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium. So much is involved in those three events. Now, six. We will come to study of the phrase, for you, in verse 24. So look at verse 24 of our passage. Verse 24. Let me get over there. Here we go. Verse 24. You have the phrase, "For you." This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, the statement "for you" in verse 24 put the point is that this phrase partakes all believers, all the believers together in the Lord's Supper, not separated, but all together, Jew and Gentile, in the phrase partakers, all believe together in the Lord's Supper, and at the saving work of Jesus Christ, also put together at this time. This put all Christians together in the celebration of the Lord's table. Now, point 7. Therefore, by taking of the cup, we all contain recognizing spirituality that God is creating in a new people for himself, the church age. And we are we are all the new creation at the love of Christ. Now, point 8. This supper, comprised of the Lord's, of the words and actions, is the ritual proclaiming of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what we'll be doing here in a few moments. 9. The point of all this is that Jesus Christ is, and therefore must be, the center celebration that we will be doing of this supper. And here lies the great problem of the Church of Corinth. They were not there. And this is so many believers of understanding the communion. This is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Now, our passage. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed. Now, Judas was there attending the Passover. In fact, let's turn to John 13. Please look at John 13. John 13, 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit. Now, I don't have time to really work with that, but that's just amazing. If Jesus Christ was troubled in his spirit about Judas defying him, and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that one of you will betray me." This is what troubled his spirit, is the betrayal by believers. Now, turn to Psalm 41. Psalm 41, 9. Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, he lifted up his heel against me. This is Jesus Christ speaking about Judas. This is one of the remembrances and problems of 1 Corinthians 11:23. Mentions that he was betrayed in the discussion of the communion. Now let's go back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Verse 22, the disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know of which one of them he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom, chest, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. This is John. Verse 24. So, Simon Peter gestured to him, that is to John, by Peter, and said to him, tell us who it is, the one who is he is speaking. Verse 25. His leaning back on Jesus' chest and said to him, Lord, who is it? They want to know. Jesus answered, I love the Lord. He never just gives you just a simple little answer. Look at his answer. Jesus answered and said, this is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel, the piece of bread, and give it to him. So when he had dipped the bread, the piece of morsel of bread, he took and piece and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Verse 27. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him, that is, into Judas. Therefore, Jesus said to him, what you're doing, do quickly. Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he was said to this to him. Verse 29. For some were assuming, because Judas was a money box. Now that's charging. It's amazing. That's the one person you don't want to leave the money with. But that's who they left it with. That Jesus was saying to him, buy the bread, buy the things we have need for the flesh, for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So that was what they're thinking. So after receiving the morsel, piece of bread, he went out immediately, that is Judas, went out immediately, and it was night. Now we've already spent time on night. That's a time of Satan. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. They didn't understand that at all. Not today. They will very soon, but not today. If God glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. God will glorify Jesus Christ. God will glorify himself and will glorify him immediately tonight. This is the reason that Jesus was born and became a member of the human race and came to earth, was to glorify Jesus Christ, to glorify God the Father. In these words, Jesus is saying that in effect, his work is accomplished. That's what he's saying. And therefore, He is glorified, and in accomplishing all that is glorified in His Father. Now, sometime you want to read Isaiah 53, especially verse 10, about this story. Now, verse 10, or let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. This was the night of Passover. Bread is unleavened bread. 3, Judas did not partake of communion. Be sure you got that understood. He did not partake communion. 4, the Greek says, while He was being betrayed. So He was already gone. 5, this means that Judas left the room to betray Jesus Christ, and now the communion can begin. Judas was absent. Now, verse 24. So look at verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. At the first communion, there are 11 disciples, not 12, but 11. And they are all believers in Jesus as their Savior, emphasizing the fact that the communion is for believers only. Now, no one can prove that it was about Paul as the 12th one. But what you want to look at just at our study is that it comes in 1 Corinthians to Paul. To Paul. And so Paul is so likely the 12th disciple. Now, verse 24, and when he had given thanks. There is much to gain and learn from the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks here. So let's take a look. 1, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave thanks for the meal. There are many other passages that deal with the fact that they went, that when you are getting ready to eat, you are to go through thanks to God for what you are about to eat. It may not be all that good, especially if you're in the army. Wasn't all that good. Or it may be something really wonderful. It may be alone. It may be with someone you love. You give thanks. Whether you are really hungry or not, you give thanks. Now, wherever you are, you give this thanks. A lot of people just don't want to do that in public anymore, and I know they don't. And I do not give them any kind of credit, but many people don't. And this is so unfortunate, but you are to take time to give thanks. Now, 2, Jesus Christ, that was the first one. First one, He gave thanks for food. 2, Jesus Christ gave thanks to express gratitude or express appreciation for God, for God's plan was being fulfilled. The fulfilled being done now. Now, 3, Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16:25. If you want to, you can turn to it. Let me just read it to you quickly. 1 Chronicles 16:35. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for. I love the word for here. For He is good for his loving kindness is everlasting. Look at Psalm 100, 4 and 5. Give thanks to him, for the Lord is good. First, we saw, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Here, we're having, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is why we're to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we got those three things. Now, point four. Give thanks for his death on the cross, on the coming cross. He is thankful for his crucifixion, his resurrection, his coming again. He is thankful for the fellowship with his friends on the cross. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke it. So let's take a look at that. One, he broke or divided the bread so that everyone, all 11, could participate in the communion. That's the first thing. He divided it among all the believers on the table. Two, now, to the Jews at this time in history, the custom was not to slice bread, but break it. This was a custom of the Jews. It was shared and shared with everyone that was there at the table. So, he broke the bread, and he was going to give a piece of the bread to each one at the table. Now, I went to a church, and that's what they did. They passed out a bread, and everybody just took a piece of the bread. You don't want to be doing that anymore, especially today. But that's what is done. Now today we get this dinky little thing here, and comes in a cup and all that. But anyway, that's what is being done. He broke it. Now, three, breaking the bread and then giving some to each of the disciples means each of one participates in the communion is become one in Christ. If you're partaking of it, you've become one in Christ. One body in Christ, just as the church becomes one. Four, the broken bread symbolizes the breaking body of Christ on the cross. So that's what we'll be doing. Five, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Where a broken bread and sent some to everyone at the table is a symbol of Jesus Christ as the life of everyone at the table. Bread of life also shows that Jesus Christ is the energy or the nourishment of Jesus Christ to everyone at the table. And finally, six, very important, the bread represents the person of Jesus Christ. it does not return as Christ. It does not return as being Christ and represent Christ eating of the bread. That's what it does. It represents Christ. It doesn't become bread. Christ. Now, I'll be talking about that later. But most of you have heard this. We're going to be looking at transubstantiation. But right now, just get it down. There are many pictures of faith in the Bible. Sometimes the scripture simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Many other times, the scripture says something like, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Eat me. John 6. And believe, and again, the eating is a picture of faith. So first thing I'm saying is, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Here it's a picture of faith. Because when you put the bread in your mouth, the bread becomes part of you as Jesus Christ becomes part of you by faith. When you partake of food, it becomes part of you. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. When you believe in Christ, Christ becomes part of you. Just as when you eat, becomes part of you. When you believe in Jesus Christ, Christ becomes part of you. Some of the times, Jesus said, I am water. Drink me. Here the drinking is a picture of faith. Sometimes it says Jesus is the knock on the door of your heart. And you please open the door and letting Christ come in. There are many other descriptions of faith, but they all mean that believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Okay. Right here is the great grace of God. The great grace of God right here is that this is my body, which is for you. And we will begin here the next study of communion and close with our communion this morning in dealing with it. But next time we do it, we're going to look at this offering, and we're going to look at the Roman Catholics and transubstantiation and how all of this fits in and what's going on, what they're saying, what we say, and why. Why do we say it doesn't become Jesus Christ? We say that, but is there a reason for that? Yes, we'll cover that. So let's be doing that. I'll do that next time. Now let's go into communion. I think everyone here understands the bread is the cup is for, so let's pass the bread. I assure you, Jesus Christ did not send a little cup with the bread in there. Receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we recognize communion once a week, once a month here, recognizing Jesus Christ, what happened on the cross, and what we recognize with one and one. We're so thankful for Jesus Christ, and we're thankful this ritual is given to us. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, let's pass the cup to everyone. Stand, please. In the same way, he took the cup after supper. So the Passover is over. This is not for the Jews, this is for the church. Saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In this blood, this is my blood. Do that as often as you do this. Drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the spiritual freedom we have in Christ. We're so thankful, Father, that it represents the freedom we have in America. Freedom, Father, to come together, recognize Jesus Christ as we see fit. We love Christ. We love America. We love our freedom. Father, we pray you continue to enrich us with this freedom many days to come. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his